Hey, we're starting off a new series this morning on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be reading out of the end of John 15 and the beginning of John 16. If you don't have a Bible with you, we've provided one in front of you, and it starts on page 1047. Just kind of put your finger there once you get that open, or open up your phone or your tablet. I think the personhood of the Holy Spirit has gotten kind of a bum rap. If you've had any kind of interaction in church, you'll hear Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You heard Kong pray it earlier. The three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I think Father gets a good rap. Like, some of us have not the greatest interaction with our earthly Father. And then we see this picture of the Heavenly Father, and it's, wow, I want that, not only that with the Father, but also with my Father. And we have this picture of Jesus, and we really dig Jesus. I mean, even if there's like, if you're iffy on the church, Jesus seems really cool, and we want to interact with him. And then there's this guy, the Holy Spirit. If you spend any amount of time on Facebook, there's this video been going around of a church service, and these people are dancing all over the place. And one guy's got his coat over his head, and he's swinging it around like a helicopter. And then all of a sudden, he takes like a dive, tuck roll into the baptismal. And I think like when we see videos like that, and it gets associated with the Holy Spirit, we get this understanding, this comprehension that the Holy Spirit is just this weird person, like the illegitimate stepchild of the Trinity. And we just kind of like put him over here, good with the Father, good with Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, man, all that stuff is just strange and weird. And I don't like strange and weird, so I'm just going to put him to the side. But when in actuality, he is our counselor, he is our helper, and he testifies the truth from the Father and the Son in conjunction with one another that in turn help us live a more productive life here on this earth. So I want to talk about him. So our title this morning is, He Is. He Is. 13 times in this section of Scripture, he's mentioned as He. So our first maybe shift that we need to take place is that he's not an it. Some of you who watch the show Lost, maybe your comprehension of the Holy Spirit is he's that black blob. There's no form and function, and he's just floating all over the place. He's weird, and he's this. He's a person who desires to strengthen, encourage, equip, empower you in your life. Let's look at the Word of God together. In John chapter 15, starting in verse 26, it says, "When the counselor who pleads another's cause comes, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." In these two little verses right here, we see all three personhoods of the Trinity working together. I, Jesus, am going to send you the counselor, the one who pleads another's cause. I will send him to you from the Father. He is the Spirit of truth, or everything that can be considered true. He is that truth in spirit form, the person of the Holy Spirit, who goes out from the Father to testify about me. And you in turn should testify about me as well. Verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 1. All this I have told you so that you would not go astray. As Jesus begins to tell them that he's going to leave, immediately he wants them to understand that they're not going to be alone. We've talked about this concept of aloneness. and what it looks like to be alone. And this morning, my family is at an adoption party this morning. So they're not with me. They left early this morning, and they took off. And I was sitting down at my kitchen table with my cup of coffee, looking out the window. We have a window right next to the dining room table. Open up the curtains. I'm just sitting there drinking my cup of coffee. And all of a sudden, this overwhelming sense of aloneness took over. Not even the deer were in my yard eating my shrubs. And it's this sneaky thing that it just snuck right in there, and I had this overwhelming sense of, I just want my family to be here. I want to hear the kids. I want to hear them fight even. What's wrong with me? I want to see my wife. I want to have interaction with her. This alone thing just crept right back in. And Jesus wants to assure his disciples, listen, I'm not going to leave you all by yourself. Just wait. Just wait for what I'm going to send you. It's going to be so good. Not just good, it's going to be so good. But let me give you some warning. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who has sent me. None of you asked me where are you going, because I have said these things to you who are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Let me just read that section again. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. There's no craziness in that. And then Jesus breaks it down a little bit further for them. In regard to sin, because people do not believe in me. In regards to righteousness, and because I am going to the Father where you can no longer see me. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. That word sin, like in the original form, means missing the mark, not coming close. And I was a little tyke. I was just a tiny little guy when I realized that this world was broken. It was broken and in desperate need of being fixed. I was in the church as a little kid and saw people that were not very Christ-like. Broken, in desperate need of being fixed. And this concept of sin literally means separation from God. We've got it all wrong, Jesus is saying. The world is concerned or not concerned with morality. I'm concerned with being with you. Because sin is separation from the God of the universe. It's way more than doing the good things. It's separation from God. And I saw that in a very real way as a little kid and thought, wow, I desperately, desperately, desperately want this thing to be fixed. And the only one who can do it is Christ. And in regards to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can no longer see me, Jesus himself embodied righteousness, or all that was right. And he wanted them to know, just because he was leaving, righteousness was not gone. I'm going to send you the one who will make you righteous. And so when the Holy Spirit comes on you, God sees you as a right in his eyes. He blots out all that separates us from the Father, and he declares you righteous. And by the way, in regards to the prince of this world who wants your destruction, he has been judged already. Your accuser has been judged already. He wants you with the Father, declared righteous, understanding who you are. That is the desire of the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's really simple. It's not crazy. It's not weird. He wants you to understand who you are as a child of God. He takes it a little bit further. In verse 12, he says, I have more to say to you, more than you can even bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will take from me what is mine, and he will make it known to you. He will guide you into all truth. You ever been led astray before? There's all kinds of stories all the time. Hey, let's go on a hike. I know the way. Follow me. 12 hours later, you're on every news broadcast known to man. You've hit hypothermia. There are 20,000 people out looking for you. My favorite was a couple years ago. There was a lady who was on a trip in Europe, and they went out and they were wandering around looking at the great wilderness. They went back to the bus so they could get off and go to the next trip, and all of a sudden they realized they were one short. So they went and looked for this one lady for 5 hours, and she was with them the whole time. She was looking for herself. They had miscounted. And she is out looking for herself. We get led astray all the time. My favorite is the grocery store. You go to the grocery store and you're looking all over the place for that one stupid thing. You saw it last week. You know it's there. You go looking for it, and it's not where it was. So you do what any normal person would do. You go up to somebody who works there. Clearly, they're going to lead me into the way that is truth. And you go to them, and they say, yes, it's an aisle 6. And you go to aisle 6, and it's not there. And everything inside of you says, what is wrong with you? You work here. Why can't you tell me where it is? We get led astray all the time. We will walk out these doors, go down to the street fair, and somebody will lead us astray. The next thing you know, you are buying something you do not want. And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you one who will guide you into all truth. He will walk with you every step of the way. And he will help you into what is true. It is not a dysfunctional grocery store with Jesus. The greatest part about this whole thing is he never does this on his own. He speaks. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears from the other persons of the Trinity. Literally, that speak is not even utter a sound that is not in alignment with the Father and the Son. He does nothing on his own. That's why we can trust that the Holy Spirit is not chaotic and crazy. He does everything for the purpose of glorifying the Father and the Son in your life. And so if you need some face time with the Lord, he's going to give you face time with the Lord. If you need peace, he's going to give you peace. If you need joy, he's going to give you joy. And it may look weird to the people around us, but it's exactly what you need. He will bring glory by taking what is mine, Jesus, and making it known to you, because all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from me what is mine, and he will make it known to you. He breaks down sin for us and all that separates us from the Father. He declares us righteous or right before the eyes of God. He lets us know that the opposition that has come against us is defeated so that we can walk in all truth as the Holy Spirit flows in and through us. I love the fact that he speaks, because when he does speak, it's normally for our good. I've had a couple of really great experiences with the Holy Spirit in my life. A couple years ago, I was sitting in my house, minding my own business, and I knew that I needed to pray for my brother. At that moment, at that hour, right then and there, I needed to pray for my brother. I can't tell you why I needed to. I just knew it. The Spirit of God was telling me, pray for your brother and pray for him now. At that very moment, he was doing what any 20-something-year-old guy would want to do who likes a little craziness. He was going cliff jumping. He was going cliff jumping. And on his way to the cliff, he was crossing this little stretch of water that looked okay, and he slipped and he fell in. And it was a whirlpool, and just spinning around, pulling him under, pulling him under, pulling him under. And that same moment, the Holy Spirit says, Jeff, pray for your brother. And out of nowhere, as he tells it, three Arab-looking guys link arms down into the water, reach in, grab him, and pull him out. They bring him over to the side. How you doing, buddy? You okay? And then they disappear. I don't know if they're angels. I don't know if they were real. But they saved my brother in his hour of need. The Spirit spoke to me that your brother needs my help. And he brought the help that was needed. It could be as simple as testifying to the Father that what Jesus says is true. It could be as simple as letting us understand that sin separates us and there's an area in our lives that is not in conjunction with the Father and it needs to be rejoined. It could be as simple as us understanding who we are in Christ, understanding that God has declared you righteous. It could be as simple as understanding that the opposition that you feel from the enemy has been defeated. Or it can be as amazing as God speaking to you so clearly to intercede for somebody else who is in desperate need of the Father. I want us to do something this morning to wrap up. the worship team's going to come back up and they're going to sing. But I wanted to close out as we set the stage for moving forward, talking about the Holy Spirit, with a creed. And we're going to put this creed up on the board. And in a minute, we're going to pray together. But I don't want you to pray anything. I don't want you to say anything that you are not ready for. Very simple. But I want us to move forward. I really do. I want us to move forward with the understanding that the Holy Spirit is who he said he was and desires to carry you along on your faith journey. So it's a very simple creed. I'll read it for you. Then we're going to take some time to just sit for like 30 seconds. And then if you're ready to, let's read it together. This is what it says. Today, I put aside any preconceived notions about the Holy Spirit. Anything that I've seen that doesn't seem to make sense or seems a little weird or seems a little off, I'm going to put that aside and put it over here. For the purpose of knowing the Holy Spirit. I also want to put aside any fears I may have about him. Then all of a sudden, he's going to make me do something crazy and weird that I don't want him to. I'm going to put that aside. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready to put that aside and just do what you want to do in my life. I confess that I cannot do this life on my own. Very simple. Yielding to God. I can't do this on my own. I know I can't be a good Christian. I can't be a good person apart from the Holy Spirit. And then lastly and very simply, I confess that I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Very simple. If you want to do that, I honestly believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, the God of the universe is just waiting to testify about the Father in your life. We're going to take 30 seconds, and then if you're ready, I'm going to ask you to join with me. Very simple. Only if you want to. Okay, everybody look up. We're going to say this together. We'll take a brief pause in between each one, and we're going to keep on going. Ready? Today, I put aside any preconceived notions about the Holy Spirit. I also put aside any fears I may have had about him. I confess that I cannot do life on my own. I confess that I need the Holy Spirit. Something just broke. Something just broke in a good way. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have provided us the counselor who will lead us into all truth. Lord, I thank you that we as a church desire for your Spirit to be present in our lives, to testify about the Father on your behalf, about how and when and where and what he desires to do in our lives. In the name of Christ Jesus, we all pray, amen. Would you stand? Let's sing one more song together before we benedict.